I've been forgetting the last couple of weeks. Wanted to make one more announcement, and this will be the last one that we'll do in connection with our mission trips that the teens were on, that if you had intended to and would like to take part in contributing for and supporting those mission trips, then turn in your money to one of the people in the office, one of the ministers, or one of the elders, and keep meaning to remember that, and I had forgotten about it, and I apologize for that, but I'd like for you to do that if you would like to and like to give you that reminder. Now, I need your help. I have two distribution lists, or had two distribution lists for the sermon outlines. They had to be divided into two because of the number of people that were receiving them, and I have one of those lists. But I do not have the second one, and I did not have either list memorized, so I don't remember who's on it. If you receive the sermon outlines and the list that you are on does not start with Joe Jackson and or Alan, I'm sorry, my mind has just gone blank, Al Gardner. If your list does not start with Joe Jackson or Al Gardner, then take the last one that you received and email it back to me so that I can get the names off of it. And if you do that for me, I would greatly appreciate it. The question. What is the question? It's popped up a lot lately. It's popped up a lot lately with individuals that are asking it and having some concerns about it. We talked a little bit about it in the Wednesday night class a couple of weeks ago, and had some individuals to say that they would like for me to write down what I had said. And sometimes it's hard for me to remember what I said. But I want to do that a little bit this morning, and here's the question. Do you people in the Church of Christ believe you're the only ones who are going to be saved? Now there's a question for you. Do you realize the difficulty that question poses and the difficulty in answering it? Because I have no idea what you mean. I have no idea what your terms are. And depending upon what your terms are is absolutely dependent upon how I would answer the question. Because to very quickly answer the question as no would leave the implication for some things that are not true. To absolutely answer the question right off the bat, yes, would leave the implication for things that are not true. And so how do you answer this question? You have to have a bit of a discussion about the question. In order to help you to understand the difficulty, let me ask the question back in a different way. Suppose I were to ask you, do you people who are Christians believe you're the only ones who are going to be saved? Now, there'd be a lot of people that would be offended by the answer you would likely give to that question. But the question comes down to that. Do you people who are Christians believe that you are the only ones who are going to be saved? And that raises the issue a little closer to the issue that I have with regard to the question. So we need to define some terms and we need to think about it. Because there's a sense in which I want to say very quickly, no. Because of the idea of the Church of Christ. What is meant by it normally is, do you folks who have Church of Christ on the front of your building and who title yourselves as the Church of Christ, do you believe you're the only ones that are going to be saved? Well, no. I know other individuals who are following the Word of God and who trust in Christ, and that's not the name that they have on top of their building. And the name that we have on top of our building is not what matters and what's significant at all. It's what are you believing? And who are you trusting? And who are you trusting in? A lot of times when you see letters written by people, or if you see people writing things about the Church of Christ, you'll see these two phrases. We have a problem with which way is right and which way to go. And the problem that we have with which way is right and which way to go is partly out of this thinking with regard to the Church of Christ. Do we capitalize church or do we not capitalize church? Do we put the focus on church or do we put the focus on Christ? And that's one of the problems that we sometimes face coming out of the idea of this question. Is the emphasis on Jesus or is the emphasis on church? I knew a congregation once in Wisconsin who had themselves listed in the phone book as the Church of Christ. They were the only one. And this is the way they listed themselves in the phone book, and the way, if you wanted to find them, you had to look under T. You couldn't look under churches. You had to look under T in order to be able to find them and to see what they are or exactly who they are. But what do we mean by Church of Christ? We mean this. We mean the called out people of God. We mean the people who have been called by the gospel of Jesus Christ to live for God through faith in Jesus and not for this life. Now go back and let's ask the question again with this definition in mind. Do you believe that the people who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and who live for God through faith in Jesus Christ and do not live for this life nor for themselves, do you believe they are the ones who are going to heaven? And in that question, we answer yes. And not only do we answer yes, but the Bible answers yes. And consider this and look at it and think about it. Do you believe that an individual who's going to heaven must have faith in God? Do you believe that the individuals who are going to heaven will be those individuals and those individuals only who have faith in God? In other words, do you people who believe in God believe you're the only ones who are going to heaven? How does the Bible answer that question? There are a lot of people in this world who would be offended by that question. There are a lot of people in this world who would not like that question and who would feel that you were offensive if you answered that question in the affirmative. But here's what the Bible tells us. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Can I go to heaven without believing God and believing in God? No, I cannot. And so those individuals who believe that we must believe in God, believe that he is, and believe that he's the rewarder of those that seek after him, are the people who will be going to heaven. Next one. Do you people who believe in Jesus believe you're the only ones who are going to heaven? Well, yes. Even though that is offensive to a lot of people in the world, even though that is an idea that a lot of people in the world would have issue with, it is absolutely the truth of the matter. The apostles will say, there is no other name under heaven by which we have salvation. Jesus himself said it this way, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then again, he will say, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You cannot go to heaven unless you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And unless you put trust in him. Does it go further? Yes, it does. Because Jesus will also say this. Those who are going to heaven are those who are doing the will of God. Jesus himself will say it in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, that's who will enter. It's in this same context that Jesus says there are two ways, there are two roads. One is a broad way that leads to eternal destruction, and there are many that find it. There's another way that is narrow and straight, and it leads to eternal life. And there are few who find it. Not everybody will be saved. According to Jesus, not even the majority will be saved. And so the question regarding salvation and how we obtain it is important. And when it comes down to trust in God and trust in Jesus, they are absolutely essential. And Jesus says doing the will of God is absolutely essential. Doing what will of God? Well, all of it. But let's summarize some things that the Bible places in category of you must do these things. And if you do not do these things, then you do not have forgiveness of sins. You do not have eternal life. You do not have God if you're not doing these things. And this is not by any means all of the things that are said, but these are some of them. If you don't forgive, if you do not forgive those who sin against you, your Father will not forgive you. If you will not let go of the things the individuals have done against you, God will not let go of the things you've done against Him. We have no right to expect forgiveness if we're not forgiving. If you do not love others, how can you love God? If you do not love your fellow man whom you can see, how can the love of God be dwelling in you? And if you do not love others, then the love of God does not dwell within you. These are the things that are a part of the will of God. If you acknowledge me, Jesus says, I will acknowledge you. But if you deny me or do not acknowledge me, are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. And if you do not confess me and acknowledge me, I will not acknowledge you when you stand before God. This is part of doing the will of God. If you don't repent, you will perish. If you don't turn away from yourself and turn toward God, you will perish. This is a part of doing the will of God. And it must absolutely and essentially be done by me and by anyone who plans to be in heaven. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Am I doing the will of God? Am I doing what God would have me to do? And then Jesus in the book of Revelation, in writing to one of the churches, will say, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. But if we turn back, if we don't remain faithful, we turn away from our only hope and our only chance of salvation. Now, talking like this and putting this list up, or this list of things, which is only a partial one up, raises a question. And the question that it raises is, does this destroy grace? And in the mind of many, it does. In the mind of many, doing anything destroys grace, which is a misunderstanding and a misreading of the Bible and a misreading of these things. Because all of these things, even if we had a complete listing up, would not be what we must do in order to earn our salvation. But every one of these things that we would characterize as doing the will of the Father is nothing more than faith's response to grace. This is how I respond in faith in God and in faith in Christ to the grace that He gives to me in Jesus Christ. And this grace that He gives to me causes me to become different because of my faith and my trust in Him. Sometimes people are appalled that we would even entertain the idea of raising the question that, yes, you can identify who will be saved and who will be lost, because Jesus identifies it for us. He tells us who it is that will be saved and who it is that will be lost. And so I can know, am I doing the things that Jesus would have me to do, or am I not? But with regard to the question, do you people think you're the only ones who are going to be saved? Let me take you to the folks who make that statement. And where I want you to go is back to our reading. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4, and I want you to look with me again, verses 1 through 8. I'm sorry, 1 through 6. John chapter 4, starting with verse 1, look at what it says. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. To put that in our common everyday language, don't believe everything someone tells you. But it goes further. Not only are you not to believe everything you hear, don't believe everything you think. Because the false spirit that might be testifying to me may not be the voice of another person. It may be my own voice. So do not believe every spirit, everything you hear, nor everything you think. But test the spirits. Put them to the test and examine them. Ask the question, is this right? Is this true? Test the spirits to see, is this what God said? Is this actually what God has told us? Test the spirits to see if they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Anyone who says something different than or other than what God has said is a false prophet. And sometimes that can be me and you. When we say what we think right off the top of our head without thinking about it. And without raising the question, is this really what God says? By this, here we go, we start getting identity. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And here John is specifically addressing a question raging in his day. Any spirit that denied that the Christ came in the flesh is not from God. And he's saying something different and something other than God has said through Jesus. He goes a little broader in the next verse. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Confess who Jesus is, confess what Jesus has said. Confess means the idea of to say the same thing. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it's coming, and now it's already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. How are we different? We hopefully are listening to God. And what we're saying is from God. But look at the next verse, verse 6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How can I identify a spirit that I need to ignore? Does he agree with us? If he does not agree with us, he is a false spirit, a false prophet, and he is not to be listened to. Well, now that raises a very important question. Who is us? And it's not me and you. Who is us? And to get the idea of who us is, and to understand who us is, as John is writing about it, you need to go back to chapter 1. Because he starts his letter off with the very same pronoun. And he uses the word us, separate and apart from the people that he's writing to. The people that he's writing to is not us. Us is somebody else. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you, the people that he's writing to. The people that he's writing to are the you. Now that would be us. Isn't this going to get confusing? We are the you that he's writing to. But we're not the us that's doing the writing. Because we're not the us that saw Jesus. We're not the us that touched him. We're not the us that heard him with our own ears. We're not the us that saw him with our own eyes. We're not the us that were one of his apostles. And it's that same idea of that pronoun that's used in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. God has spoken to us, that's all of us, through his Son, Jesus Christ. It was first delivered by Jesus, but we heard it from those who heard him. And those who heard him, God testified that what they were saying was from him by the miracles and the signs that they performed. That's the apostles. And so now in John chapter 1, he's saying, we've heard him, we've seen him, we've touched him. And we made him known to you. And he goes on and says, this eternal life, which was for the Father and was manifested to us, and we've seen and heard and we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Fellowship with the apostles. And indeed, our fellowship, the fellowship of the apostles, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. So now he's defined for us the us and the we. And so when we go back over to 1 John chapter 4 and we look at verse 6, we are from God. We heard Jesus. We are his chosen apostles. He who knows God listens to us. Because the message of Jesus Christ is delivered to you through us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. John, are you saying the only ones who are going to heaven are the ones who listen to the apostles of Jesus Christ? Yes. Are you saying the only ones who will be saved by Jesus are the ones who pay attention to what Jesus actually said? Yes. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How can I know if the spirit is telling me the truth? Is it what the apostle said? Is it what Jesus said? How do I know that the spirit is telling me something that is not true? Is it different from what the apostle said? Is it different from Scripture? Is it different from the Word of God? And it's not just the apostles that say that. Jesus says this. In his prayer that he prays to God in John chapter 17, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. He's been praying for the apostles. And now he says, and Father, I'm not asking just for them, but I'm asking for all of those who believe in me through their word, which is how we come to have faith in Christ, through the words of the apostles, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, what did Jesus mean that we would all be one? John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 4. We have made known to you the message that we have heard. And you have received that message and you believe that message we have given to you. And therefore our joy and our fellowship is made complete. We have fellowship with the apostles. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with Christ. It is by believing the words of Scripture. That's how we know if the mind is talking to me is right or wrong. If what I'm hearing is right or wrong. If what I'm believing is right or wrong. So do you Christians believe the only ones who are going to heaven are the ones who put trust in Jesus Christ and listen to Him? Yes. That's exactly what we believe. Because Jesus is the only way to the Father. And there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved other than Jesus Christ. So do you believe Jesus? Do you believe in Him? Have you been baptized into Him? Do you need to come home to Him? We offer you His invitation as together we stand and sing.